सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। We'll chant verses 41 to 45, chapter 2. Page 113. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi, Vyavasayatmika buddhihi, Ekeha kuru nandana, Ekeha kuru nandana, बहुशा काह्यनन्ताश्च बहुशा काह्यनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः एकेह कुरु नन्दन बहुशा काह्यनन्ताश्च बुद्धयो व्यवसायिनां यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः वेदवादरतापार्थ वेदवादरतापार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः यामि मां पुष्पितां वाचम् प्रवदन्त्यविपश्चितः वेदवादरतापार्थ नान्यदस्तीति वादिनः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति कामात्मानस्वर्गपराः जन्मकर्मफलप्रधाम् क्रियाविशेषबहुलाम् भोगैश्वर्यगतिं प्रति भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानां भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानां तयापहृतचेतसां तयापहृतचेतसां व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते समाधौ न विधीयते भोगैश्वर्यप्रसक्तानां तयापहृतचेतसां व्यवसायात्मिका बुद्धिः समाधौ न विधीयते त्रैगुण्यविषया वेदाः त्रैगुण्यविषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् त्रैगुण्यविषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान्। After talking about the Jnana Yoga from verse 11 till 38, Lord Krishna now from 39 onwards starts talking about Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga he calls it as Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of action backed by wisdom. So in this he says the intellect is resolute, it is one-pointed, and in Karma, which is opposed to Karma Yoga, the mind is many branched. When you have the knowledge of Atma and you have turned introvert, your mind becomes collected and calm and composed. Vis-a-vis, the mind turns extrovert, it runs amok, it goes helter-skelter, it goes into the past and future, constantly craving for more and more and never satisfied. So many branched and endless indeed are the thoughts of the irresolute. And are you sure we started 42, 43, 44 last week? Doesn't matter, we'll chant once again and then we will continue. In 42, 43, 44, which we will chant together, is going to talk about the limitations of heaven, etc.
Yami mam pushpitam vacham, yami mam pushpitam vacham, pravadantya vipaschitaha, pravadantya vipaschitaha, veda vadarata partha, veda vadarata partha, nanyadastiti vadinaha, nanyadastiti vadinaha, yami mam pushpitam vacham, pravadantya vipaschitaha, veda vadarata partha, nanyadastiti vadinaha, kamatmana swarga paraha, kamatmana swarga paraha, janma karma phalapradham, janma karma phalapradham, kriya vishesha bahulam, kriya vishesha bahulam, bhogaishwarya gatim prati, bhogaishwarya gatim prati, kamatmana swarga paraha, janma karma phalapradham, kriya vishesha bahulam, bhogaishwarya gatim prati, bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, tayapahruta chetasam, tayapahruta chetasam, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, samadhauna vidhiyate, samadhauna vidhiyate, bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, tayapahruta chetasam, vyavasayatmika buddhihi, samadhauna vidhiyate.
The unwise utter flowery speech, rejoicing in the letters of the Vedas, O Partha, saying there is nothing else than this. Obsessed with desires, kamatmanaha, one who is obsessed with desires, for him heaven is the ultimate. So he says, obsessed with desires, with heaven as the ultimate goal of birth and action. They prescribe many specific rites for attainment of pleasure and power. Those who are attached to pleasure and power, whose minds are drawn away by that flowery speech, have no determined intellect fixed in samadhi, God consciousness. Now, very, very interesting words coming from Lord Krishna. It looks as if he is condemning Vedas themselves. But we need to carefully see the words of Krishna here. He says, the unwise uttered flowery speech, rejoicing in the letter of the Vedas. See, Vedas, there are four Vedas as you know, Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharvana. And each of the Vedas have four parts to it. The last part of every Veda contains what is called as Upanishads, where the philosophy of life and living is given. The first three portions talk about mantra, brahmanas and aranyakas. They talk about the rituals to fulfill your desires, which could be if you want a child, there is a certain ritual prescribed. And if you want wealth, there is a certain ritual prescribed. If you want rain, there is a certain ritual prescribed. And if you want to go to heaven, there are certain rituals prescribed. So he says, those who are involved in the letters of the Vedas, means those who have taken the beginning portions of the Vedas and got involved with the rituals as an end in itself. Such people, they are attached to the flowery speech of the Vedas, the words of the Vedas. They claim there is nothing else than this. All that you need to do is, if you do the rituals as prescribed in the Vedas, you are living the life of a spiritual person. That's how they look at it. So he says, they don't go by the inside message. They get stuck with the outside words. Such people, they are just rejoicing in the letters of the Vedas. The rituals, if at all, are prescribed only for you to relatively following dharma, fulfill your desires so that you can rise above it and go to the Atma, but not to consider them as an end in itself. But a lot of people are only interested in the pleasures. So he says, obsessed with the desires. Everybody is obsessed with the desires. And somebody who is obsessed with the desires, all that he wants is pleasures. And if he is told, if you are ready to sacrifice the pleasures of this world, you will get much more in the heaven. 10 times more. He works for it. So in fact, a lot of people, their interest is only heaven. And also what we need to understand is, if you remember in the beginning, I was talking about the human personality consisting of the 3 C's. The container, the content, and the consciousness. Those people who are involved in the letters of the Vedas, they only consider themselves as the content and not as the consciousness. They may be very clear that they are not the container, they are not the body, but they think they are the individual jivatma which keeps on going from one body to another. So therefore they are interested in future. All that they do is, the whole life, the present life, is just nothing but time spent in investing for the future. They may be existing in the present but tied with the future. They never enjoy the present. So they look at the Vedas, they see Vedas promising heaven, and the heavenly enjoyments are spoken in the Vedas. If the ice cream tastes this much here, it would probably taste 2 million times more there. Right? So they say, okay, what is there to gain here? Let me sacrifice here and do these rituals so that I'll go to heaven and enjoy. But what they do not realize is that is also temporary state. They cannot live there forever. Obsessed with desires, with heaven as the ultimate goal of birth and action. In other words, everything they do only with an idea of attaining something in future.
So again, it's an expectation. Yeah. Again, without expectation.
Absolutely. They don't do anything without expectation. They're following the rituals, but they're doing it as karma, not as karma yoga. We defined karma yoga earlier that you cannot go by action. Action per se is not considered to be karma yoga or karma. An action with the right attitude makes it karma yoga. I told you, when an action is backed by the awareness of the truth, with an attitude of thy will be done, not my will be done, and with the strength of accepting whatever might be the result, and adapting accordingly, is karma yoga. So karma yoga is more to do with the person rather than the action. This also we discussed. Same action, X might do it as karma, Y might do it as karma yoga. So there is no such thing as this is pure action or this is impure action. An action becomes pure or impure based on the person's intention and attitude. If you have the prasad buddhi, if you accept it as whatever might be the result as prasad, and you don't have any ego backing your action, then that becomes karma yoga. So obsessed with the desires. Here they are all obsessed with the desires. They are not doing actions without expectation. Even the so-called rituals are performed because that's a guarantee for them to go to heaven. And in heaven, what is their pleasures? End of the day, they are only courting pleasures. So in other words, physically they may be looking as if they have sacrificed many things, but mentally they are full of what?
Desires.
Pleasures. Pleasures have preoccupied their minds. So he says, obsessed with desires, with heaven as the ultimate goal of birth and action. Why are we born? We are born here to invest in such a way so that we will be getting a seat booked in heaven. That's all they are interested in. I want to go to heaven. I'll do these activities, the punya activities, because they'll take me to heaven. Why heaven? Because heaven may I can enjoy. There is expectation, there is future, there is desire, everything in their actions. They may be following Vedas, but they are not doing karma yoga. because they are kamatmanah. They are not identified with atma. See, the mind is there in each one of us, whether it is turned within or without. You may be reading Vedas. For example, Ravana chanted the entire Samaveda and appeased the Lord and got the doom. But look at his plight. So it is not just chanting of Vedas or following the rituals. Why are you doing it? As a means to purify your mind so that you can attain Atma. To attain Atma Siddhi, then it becomes Karma Yoga. But as a means to do certain rituals, as a means to get to heaven, then it ceases to be Karma Yoga. So he is condemning people who are quoting Vedas but stuck in rituals. He is not condemning the rituals. He is not condemning the Vedas. He is condemning the involvement. Please understand, it is the involvement that is the danger, not the action. Getting involved in Gita class also is a danger. Either you don't do an action or you get involved in an action. A businessman was invited by his relatives and friends in USA to visit them for many years, but he was so busy with his business that he could not get there. He had got the visa, he had got the tickets booked many times, but he could never go. So after so many years of persuasion, and he also thought, it's not correct, I should go. No, I should not get all the time busy with my business. I should give some time to my family as well. So he decided this time that he is for sure going. So he booked his ticket. He was traveling with his wife and two sons to USA. He was supposed to be at the airport at a particular time. So he went there, checked in quite early. He went through all the things in duty-free shopping and everything, and then finally went to the gate quite early and didn't know what to do, sitting there quietly. And there was a machine installed. The machine said, insert 1 rupee coin, I will speak the truth. He said, I've seen machines which says, insert 1 rupee coin, I'll tell you a weight. And sometimes some of the horoscopes and all that also is seen. But this is a strange machine. It says, I will speak the truth. So he got curious. So went and stood on it, inserted 1 rupee coin. It said, you are Mr. So-and-so. You have come with your wife and two sons. You have checked in. You have done all your immigration and everything. And waiting for the flight to board to go to New York. So fantastic. Science has developed so much that it can read through the minds of the people. So he could not, you know, digest that thought. He went back and sat on the seat and started contemplating. Then he said, let me try once again. Same story. Then after half an hour, he said, let me try with my wife. It said, yeah, Mrs. So-and-so, you come with your husband and two sons waiting for the flight boat to go to New York. He couldn't believe himself. Then he tried with his sons one by one. Then he said, one last time, let me try. He went and stood on it. It said, dear Mr. So-and-so, you've come with your wife and two sons to board a flight to go to New York, which is already departed. This is involvement. Understand? This is involvement. You get into an action, get involved in it. So here he says, obsessed with the desires with heaven as the ultimate goal of birth and action. They're only involved. In the rituals, they want to book their seats to go to heaven. They follow the prescribed rituals for attainment of pleasure and power. All that is there in their mind is what? Pleasure and power. They have not turned their mind towards Atma. See, every one of us has vasanas. Right? Vasanas don't go when you say go. Just by saying, go to my desires, desires will not go. Desires needs to be sublimated. It needs to be directed and exhausted, risen above. You can't say go,
simply by saying go, it is not going to go. Right? So you must act. You can't avoid action. You have to be given. I've mentioned this before also. In the olden days, when children were taken to the Gurukula at the age of 7, they were imparted this knowledge by the Guru. They in fact lived with the Guru. Guru not only imparted the knowledge, the information, but he lived it also. So thus he imparted by his own example also. Even though they have gone through the Brahmacharya Ashrama and covered the knowledge of Vedas, Vedanta and the worldly knowledge, still their desires are not gone. Not for everybody. Therefore they were introduced into Grihastha Ashrama, wherein you are going through the desires in a dharmic way and continue doing your rituals and everything, your study, rituals, everything. Slowly you rise above the desires. You cannot stifle your desires. By stifling your desires, desires will only gain more strength. By suppressing, you get nowhere. You can't suppress. You need to sublimate, which is through conscious action, karma, yoga. Grihastha ashrama we call it because you are supposed to be doing karma yoga. But while you are in grihastha ashrama, if you are doing karma and not karma yoga, then it ceases to be qualified to be called as ashrama. Are you with me? Your desires are dedicated for a cause, for a purpose. So you are involved in karma yoga for what purpose? Atma Shuddhi. We discussed this before. Atma Shuddhi. I mentioned this in the context where why is the need for giving karma yoga now after having given jnana yoga to Arjuna? He said, I had spoken about jnana yoga, nothing has happened to you. Right? Jnana yoga is the highest. End of the day, you don't have to do anything to get there, because self-realization is not getting somewhere. You are already Atma. You are not Shivani, you are Atma. There is nowhere to go. Shivani doesn't have to do anything to get somewhere where she is not. She is already Atma. She is not aware of the fact. She is ignorant. But ignorance needs to be removed, for which Jnana Yoga, Jnanam is the only solution. But Jnanam only blossoms in a person who is matured. Arjuna is still not fully matured for the seed shown in him to be blossoming. Therefore, the soil needs to be prepared. Are you with me? So he said, Arjuna, I am giving you karma yoga. By following karma yoga, you prepare your soil. Once the soil is prepared, then the seed will germinate and blossom. Therefore, why do we have to act? None of us can escape action. He in fact deals with it in detail in the third chapter. He says, nobody can escape action. Yet, a lot of people are scared. How? Why do you want to go to Bhagavad Gita class? Everything alright? Any problem? At this young age, why? Because they think it will take you away from action. Here is a clear case where Arjuna wanted to escape from action. And Krishna is telling him, nobody can escape. Nobody should escape. You should act. Why? Because it is only through action can you exhaust your desires, the bulk of your desires, and get purified. So, no doubt, the aim of spiritual life is to exhaust the desires. As the Vedanta formula says, human being plus, God plus desires equals human being. So human being minus desires equals God. You are God with lots and lots of desires. When those desires are exhausted, you realize that you are God. So the idea is to exhaust the desires, not stifle them. Right? So therefore, this Vedas prescribe rituals only for purification of the self.
But what happens is, we start using it as a tool to get involved in our desires and go on multiplying our desires, and we go to heaven. And then when we are told that heaven is also only a temporary sojourn, then what do we have to do? We want to come back, work again, go to heaven. Until we get tired and see where is the place where I don't have to come back. So he is obsessed with the desires. They can't think. There is too many desires preoccupying them. So they are only concerned about heaven as their ultimate goal. They are running after attainment of power and pleasure. Those who are attached to power and pleasure, whose minds are drawn by that flowery speech, have no determined intellect fixed in samadhi. For them, samadhi is not the goal, just the heaven. So Krishna is cautioning us through Arjuna that don't get involved in Vedas. Vedas are to be used to rise above your desires, not to be abused to fulfill your desires and go on increasing your desires further. Even if you are increasing your punya, supposing doing good activities, lot of charitable activities, but with propelled by desires, let us say, you are gathering more and more punya. What does it mean? It simply means that you are keeping yourself far away from the truth for much more time.
Explain that again.
Good action, I mean good desires and bad desires. Selfish desires and unselfish desires. When you get involved in good desires, unselfish desires, you gather punya. When you get involved in selfish desires, you gather pap. Whether it is pap or punya, both keeps you away from God. So you are not supposed to get involved in good desires also. You are supposed to do it just as an obligation. Say for example, I am connecting Bhagavad Gita class here. Now, I might do this for my selfish reasons. I'll get following, I'll get name, fame, etc. by doing such things. Then it is done with a selfish motive. Or if I do, everybody must understand Gita. I will make sure that Gita becomes popular, as though Bhagavad Gita is waiting for my service. Then it is done with an unselfish attitude. There is another one which is, I have come into this path for my purification, and what I have studied by teaching, I remind myself, which helps me to purify further and get back to the self. This is selfless. This is Karma Yoga, strictly speaking. Are you with me? So if I do it with good desires, then I develop good desires. If I do it with bad desires, then I develop bad desires. Whether it is good or bad desires doesn't matter. Human beings have to reduce desires, not gather desires. The more desires you gather, you keep yourself far away from the truth, divinity. So this objectivity is what is being emphasized here. Never get involved. There are people who are involved in Vedas. In fact, forget Vedas. Even in Vedanta and Bhagavad Gita you can get involved. Because end of the day, all the scriptures are talking about the same thing. In different words, the masters were different, the students were different, it was given at different times. So therefore, maybe some examples and different points of view and everything. But the message is same. Same old wine packed in new bottles. That's about it. Right? But there are a lot of us, oh sir, when are you going to finish Bhagavad Gita? Because I am thinking of studying Ashtavakra Gita. Uske baad Uddhava Gita is also there. Then I am told there is Yoga Vashishth, then there are other Upanishads. Oh please, can we have class every day, 3 times, 4 times? People get involved. End of the day, it's not the length. Swamiji says, it is not the length of study that matters. It is the depth. It's not the length of study that matters, it is the depth of study that matters. So those who are attached to pleasure and power, in fact, those who are attached to pleasure and power, they lose it. Pleasure and power will follow you when you follow the truth. When you follow pleasure and power, they get fed up. Anything in life also, it's like this. Go on bothering somebody. You know, you go on sitting on somebody's back, you won't get down. After half an hour, 45 minutes, they say, hey, excuse me, can you please get down? Leave me alone. Huh? Don't you say that? So attach, you lose. Detach, you gain. They don't understand this. The way to gain anything is to lose it, says Swami Ramtirtha. Anything, if you want to gain, you should lose it. Lose it totally at the mental level. When you mentally follow the truth, all this will follow you. Like in the poem Pineapple and the Bee, he says, our dear delights are often such, exposed to view but not to touch. The sight our foolish heart inflames, we long for pineapples in frames. With hopeless wish one looks and lingers, one breaks the glass and cuts his fingers. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. But they whom truth and wisdom lead can gather honey from a weed. So mind, nature is to get attached. It craves for what it does not have and gets attached to what it has. This is the nature of the mind. Huh? So they are pursuing Vedas with the mind. They are not pursuing Vedas with the intellect. That's the point he is trying to say. So he is not condemning Vedas, please. Please understand this. So he is not saying, hell with Vedas, start studying Bhagavad Gita. That's not the point. The point he is trying to say is, rituals are to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Vedanta classes should become a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Your guru should become a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Huh?
Intention with which you do the ritual, not just getting stuck to,
yes,
to do the ritual.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything for that matter. See, it can't become a binding thing. End of the day, you should be free. You cannot be bound. Whether you are bound by iron chain or gold chain, it's the same thing. You are bound. What difference does it make? Huh? Your ego probably might be satisfied that you are bound by, you are given little preference. They didn't chain you with iron chain, but they chained you with gold chain. That's all. But end of the day, you are bound. You should be free. Freedom is the most important value, the highest value. Never to get entangled in anything. So the husband, wife, children, everybody should become a stepping stone. Marriage was meant for that reason. Marriage was very much designed for the reason of being a stepping stone, not stumbling block. But then everywhere if you see, it has become a stumbling block. A lot of people say, I mean, I don't ask. Nobody asks them, why haven't you come to the Gita class? But they feel guilty, as if they have committed themselves. If they are really committed, then they will come and say, you know, sir, I really want to come, but there are so many duties. At the same time, if there are duties, you should be absolutely guilt-free to go and do your duty. You should not feel, oh, I missed my Gita class. Why should you miss anything? You understand? End of the day, you should be free. Either you are careless or you are bound. Either you are indifferent or you are bound. Very rarely a person is free. When you say freedom, then they become licentious. So, he says, those who are attached to pleasure and power, whose minds are drawn away by that flowery speech. Vedas talk about a world after death. While you should be interested in the present moment, they are drawn away by the future promises. Isn't it? A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. But all of us are looking forward for the two in the bush. I'm not happy that I have got my meal today. I'm happy that the other fellow has got meals. This is the biggest problem. So Krishna says, those who are involved, unwise, he calls them unwise. You might know the Vedas, but if you are involved, you are unwise. You might not have studied Vedas, but if you are not involved, you are wise. So who is a wise person? One who is objective, not learned. If your learning has not brought you to objectivity in life, then you are not a learned person. You are not a wise person anymore. Just quoting here and there. So, whether you are learned or not is determined by your actions. Are the actions done as a witness, as a sakshi, or are the actions that are done as an involved person? That determines not what you do, but how you do it. It's not what you do that matters, but how you do it. Any number of times we might hear this, you would still be concerned about how to do it. So,
how do you define the line between indifference and objective? Or indifference and uninvolved?
The same thing. See, indifference is tamasic. Uninvolved is sattvic.
I get that from here,
okay.
But in a matter of actions, what makes you uninvolved but not indifferent?
Indifferent person is indifferent to the result of an action which could cause damage to oneself or could cause damage to others. Unconcerned person means, when we say uninvolved person, unconcerned, we might use the word, we simply mean is not worried about the result. He weighs the pros and cons and does the action, but while doing the action, his focus is very much in the present. He is not heedless to the consequence. Indifferent fellow is heedless to the consequence. Are you with me? If this is bad, for example, smoking. Smoking is bad. Indifferent fellow is heedless to the consequence. Uninvolved person is very much concerned about the consequence. There is in between category who is involved, who is worried about the consequence. So indifference is tamas, uninvolved is sattvic in that sense. So his focus is in the action. What I am supposed to do. Indifferent fellow is not concerned even about what he is supposed to do. Chalo, kal dekhenge. Procrastinating. Are you with me? If he is not able to do it because of some other important action was there, therefore he couldn't do it, an uninvolved person is not affected. I had a genuine reason because of which I could not do it. I'll do it tomorrow. But indifferent fellow has no reason. He just goes by his likes and dislikes. He doesn't do it. And is not bothered. That is indifference. A laziness. Heedless to the consequence. That measurement is heedless to the consequence. This guy is not heedless to the consequence. He is very much concerned about the consequence. But he leaves the consequence to the totality. Are you with me? He is not craving for the consequence to happen tomorrow. If he is working towards a positive thing. He's not like, oh, why is it not come? Why is it not come? He just say, okay, it has to come and it has to come. And he goes about doing his action. That is an unwalled person. Indifferent fellow will not even do it. Why should I do it? Uninvolved person realizes his role and executes it with detachment. Indifferent fellow relinquishes his role. When I say relinquish again, means he doesn't even fulfill his role.
Doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Uninvolved person, which said what?
Realizes his role and executes it
with
detachment. Weighing the pros and cons, he will function, but he remains quiet, lets the result to come on its own. He simply focuses on action. This uninvolved guy, indifferent fellow, he doesn't realize his role.
Everything realizes and doesn't care. Negative.
Whatever.
Different person is just negative.
That's what I'm saying.
Whether person is not,
there may be categories. One may realize and doesn't care. One may not realize also his role. He's just not bothered. I am supposed to be doing what I. You know, see, it's like this. There's a spoke in the wheel, right? There are many spokes, and each spoke has its role, right? He just, one spoke just goes off to sleep. He is only interested in his pleasures. And if that comes at the cost of burning his finger, he's indifferent to that. That's, you know, like people who drink and drink and drink, and they may be some of the best doctors actually. They're drinking, drinking, drinking until their liver completely packs off. You know, it's packing off. But that momentary pleasure, you know, for that, they don't mind even destroying their liver.
But then how can they be conscious and still be doing that?
Pardon?
How can they be conscious and still doing something which is going to affect them only?
They are not, they are knowledgeable. They are not conscious. You are using a different word. They are knowledgeable of what will happen to them when they drink. If they were conscious human beings, then they won't drink, or if at all they drink, they'll drink with control. If at all. They will be the boss, not the alcohol. So, yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vikaschita. Rejoicing in the letter of the Vedas. This is what the Vedas say. I'm supposed to be doing on Amavasya these things, on Purnami these things. I'll follow this ritual. Monday, ye karna padega. Like if you see in the world today, everybody is like, you know, mechanically following. Everybody goes mad. Oh, have you done this? Have you done this? I've not done. In fact, some people may not want to do it, but everybody is doing. If I don't do, I'll be considered somebody outside. So therefore I also will do. Just mechanically, without thinking, without heart being there. And that's not going to purify you. It's become a fashion. So the unwise utter flowery speech, rejoicing in the letter of the Vedas. Keep on quoting Vedas. I am following Vedas. You know, the biggest problem is, somebody who is not following Vedas, he can be brought back to righteousness. Somebody who is following Vedas mechanically, very difficult. Because he says, I am following. Every day I am getting up at 4 o'clock. Every day I am following the rituals that I am supposed to be following. I am falling at the feet of my parents. He is doing everything, but he is doing everything mechanically. This guy is more dangerous. In fact, today the danger is from the religious people, not from the atheists. Isn't it? one religious sect fighting with the other religious sect, and they have wars and everything.
In the name of religion.
In the name of religion. In the name of God. He is more dangerous. And he doesn't even suspect, because he is doing it for that higher caste. Once the higher caste tag is given, people go mad. You understand? This is why I said in some different context, I said, legitimacy is given, then finished. Because why is this happening? Because we are all suspending our violence. We are all suppressing our violence. The violence has gone from the conscious mind to the subconscious mind. When legitimacy comes, we go all out. Like in Bihar, one fellow supposed to have stolen somebody's purse, I don't know, somebody's purse or chain. It came in the news a few months ago. They just snatched somebody's chain, you know. They caught hold of him, and all the other public also got together, and they beat him to death actually. They literally beat him to death. It was, in fact, it was shot in camera. That was another worst thing. This was all shown in the television channels. Now, see the extent to which these guys go. Why? Because we are right, he was wrong, he had stolen, however much you are right. Now from where did the violence come about? From you. It's not come from outside, it's come from within you. So what is happening is, in the name of religion, we are not sublimating, we are all suppressing. Outside you are saying, are you? Inside you want to kick that fellow. You understand? It's like that. This is going on. For what? You know? So therefore, if you see an atheist, he's at least honest. And there's a possibility of that guy coming back. Because in fact, he is religious because he's being honest. What is important is being honest. Hypocrisy is against religion. Hypocrisy is against religion. There's a beautiful poem called Abu Ben Adam. Abu Ben Adam, one night in his dream, saw an angel with a book of gold with lots of names in it. So he asked, what are you writing in it? Angel said, all those names who love God. So he asked, is my name one of them? Angel said, no. It's not there. Then he said, write me as one who loves his fellow beings. Next day the angel came with a book of gold again, with all those names of people who are loved by God. And Ben Adam's name stood first. It is not, doesn't really matter whether you know Manmohan Singh. Whether Manmohan Singh knows you, whether you know Obama, doesn't matter. Does he know you, President Obama? Does the Prime Minister know you? You understand? It's not how many rituals you follow every day. Later on, he's going to say, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Just one small tulsi leaf is enough. Hold. I mean, please do whatever rituals you want to do. But then the point is the bhava, the awareness. Why are you doing it? Not for heaven. If I do this, then I will get the heaven. You are tied with future. Vedanta doesn't say, don't plan for future. But by tying with the future in the present, you are never happy in the present. And in fact, this is what most of us are doing. We are sacrificing today for tomorrow. Living in the hope, hopelessly. Living in the hope, hopelessly. And considering ourselves to be very spiritual. All that we want is people should consider me spiritual. So he says, they are only doing it for heaven. In fact, those who are attached to heaven are worse. They miss it. They are there if they miss it. you are using, it's like this. Some mantra has been given to you with which you can even get infinity, but you are asking for all finite things. It's exactly like that. Such the capacity of such the mantra is to give you the infinity, but you are so small minded, so you are asking for something petty. This is what is happening. Every one of us have the capacity to get to the infinity, but we are using all our capacities just to fulfill ourselves with finite things.
Because earlier we are doing it mechanically, so again, it's the bhava, the meaning which you have is very different from otherwise, just, and not just knowledge, but even the bhava, it's the, it's the bhava in having your writing, it is at least trying to sublimate, I mean, you know, the feeling. So, see, one
thing you must understand, what you say is absolutely right. There are many rituals. You may not know the meaning of all the rituals. You can't also. Now the point is, why you do those rituals? The point is, supposing some of the rituals you know the meaning, and you understand that every ritual must have some meaning, I may not know. At the end of the day, the real meaning of all these rituals is only to purify the mind. Remember that. Purification of the mind is the goal. Right? Just because you understood the meaning and you light the lamp,
it doesn't happen.
That attitude should be carried forward in your other activities by which you will purify your mind. So these rituals prescribed in the Vedas are only for purification of the mind. Once I understand that, then I need not waste my time in trying to know each and every ritual. I may know, I may not know, I'll try to know.
If you're getting involved, then again it's involving the ritual, not the
purification. So in other words, rituals or anything for that matter is only meant for purification of the inner self. When the inner self is purified, then the jnanam will be able to become a conflagration in you.
Not just about brain.
So don't satisfy yourself by saying, I'm just following Vedas. You can be following Vedas, so what is the big deal? In other words, don't be see, even if you are in the car, which probably is one of the best cars and all that, you still have to be alert. You cannot afford to close your eyes. But all of us, we say, oh, I'm in the hands of Vedas, therefore I can afford to close my eyes. In fact, many people who are in the Vedas are traveling keeping their eyes closed. That's what I told you. Think about this. In danger time, you are keeping your eyes awake. But in good times, what happens? Sleeping. It's very interesting. You have a project. You have to submit the project 1 year later. Sleep. Just a day before or a month before or 2 days before, you're very much awake. Isn't it? The danger. Believe me, India should thank Pakistan, Pakistan should thank India. If at all there is a little bit of awakening and alertness in us, we should thank Pakistan. Similarly, they should thank us. Really? You understand? If everything goes on fine, that's what Kabir also says, no? Dukh mein se mera main sab kare, sukh mein kare na ko. So, the point is, I have come to Vedas, I have come to Bhagavad Gita class, so I can relax. I have got a guru now, I can relax. This is rubbish. Guru will go on poking your ego so that you don't fall asleep. Otherwise, he is not a guru. You understand? He is not a sadist to see you suffer. But please understand, many times when the challenge is not, it's boring. What will you do? Isn't that happen? In fact, a lot of people just cannot be themselves if there is nothing to do. Oh, sir, please don't cancel the Gita class because I don't know what else to do today. Because Tuesday is fixed for Gita. I can't even go some other places. Why should it be like that? So, Vedas should not blind you. Purification of the mind is the reason for karma yoga. And Vedas give you so many rituals which are to be done as karma yoga, not as karma. If at all. You understand? You have a certain, that's why we say in today's context, you have a certain desire. You have to go through those desires. So dharmically go through those desires. Rise above them. Why are you taking a stance against it or for it? This is the problem. We take stance either against it or for it. Desires are wonderful. Our desires are, oh my God, they're deadly. Why? You listen. Why do you have to take any stance against it or for it? Desires are there. Through knowledge, it's not gone. I need to give it a direction. I give it a direction. Go on acting. Over a period of time, it will go. In fact, I should not every now and then keep on checking. Has it gone? Has it gone? Has it gone? Then what is happening is, I'm keeping the goal of exhausting the desires. In fact, it will not go. Attach, you lose. Detach, you gain. If you're attached to the goal, you will lose it. You will not attain it. If you detach from it, if I direct my desires, I'll exhaust it. And it will happen in the due course. Every day, I'm checking, has this desire gone or not? Still not gone. Still not gone. Then what am I doing? Deep inside, I'm doing that action as a, with some expectation. Then also it seems to be karma yoga. Are you with me? This is very interesting. This is what is happening to a lot of people. Either they do it to go to heaven, or they say it's for self-purification, but every 2 minutes, sir, what is this? Jandri's ashram, nothing has been happening. Every 5 days he comes and takes appointment and discusses with the guru. That fellow will also never grow. Once you have taken a plunge in the direction, consciously go on putting in your efforts. That is all. That is important. Never to get involved. The moment you become result oriented, it ceases to be karma yoga. Then the ego is interested in dropping the desire. You should neither be interested in dropping or accumulating. Verse 45. Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha
त्रैगुण्य विषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान् त्रैगुण्य विषया वेदाः निस्त्रैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्तः निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान्. The Vedas deal with the three gunas. Be thou free, O Arjuna, from the three gunas. Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Arjuna, you must become free from the three gunas. The three gunas are what? Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So he says Vedas are only dealing with the three gunas. Free from the pairs of opposites, you should become Arjuna. Remain ever in sattva, purity. Free from acquisition and preservation. Yoga kshema. And established in the self. This is a very, very interesting verse. He is continuing attacking those who are attached to Vedas, not Vedas. So he says, the Vedas are only dealing with the three gunas. See, what are Vedas? Vedas are called as Shabda Pramanam. Shabda means what? Sound. Mantras are nothing but sounds that has emanated from silence. Silence is the truth. And that truth which is silence cannot be expressed in words. Are you with me? And for the expression of the words, the medium of gunas are required. The medium of attributes are required. Without the gunas, the sound cannot be expressed. All expressions are through the mind. Are you with me? Without the mind, there can be no expression. The mind further expresses it through the other senses. So mind is made up of the three gunas. So Vedas are also what? Something that has come from the minds. No doubt, they are the silence. The what are Vedas? Vedas are nothing but almost an impossible effort in trying to express the inexplicable through the mind and senses. Are you with me? Trying to see, for example, even some of your experiences. If you try to share, it's difficult. Like you went to Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls or Himalayas, whatever. You can't try to explain it to somebody else. He says, so what are you talking? I cannot understand. Somebody else who's gone there and has come back, with him you can talk. Even the worldly experiences like that, you are not able to converse. Are you with me? There is a limitation. He is only trying to tell you there is a limitation to even Vedas. As if Vedas are everything. You are supposed to go even beyond Vedas. Vedas become a stumbling block. This is what I said. Oh, I have, some people have the name as Trivedi, Chaturvedi. Just because you got the Vedas knowledge, you can quote, you can conduct rituals and all this, doesn't mean anything. You must go beyond it and get to the self. That's a different ballgame altogether. So, Vedas are what? Sounds. Shabda Pramanam. They are also nothing but the three gunas. Is it? The Vedas deal with the three gunas. They are also dealing with the three gunas. Sattva, Rajas. Shabda Pramanam.
Pramanam.
Yeah. Means ultimate or authority. Vedas deal with the three gunas. Be thou free, O Arjuna, from the three gunas. You are supposed to be crossing over the three gunas and attaining the self, not get involved there. Huh?
However, sattvic an action might be, getting involved there, you don't go to Atma. Now, there's a beautiful story in Zen Buddhism. One Zen guru was teaching a disciple for many years, and suddenly the guru had fallen into coma, and he was in coma for 6 months almost. So the disciple was serving him all 6 months in the hospital. After 6 months, when the guru opened his eyes, he saw the disciple. So disciple said, "Oh guru, I am very happy you have woken up, you know, come from coma and all that. All the 6 months I was serving you." Instantly he asks, "Have I dazzled you, my son, so much that you fail to see the light within? Why are you getting stuck to me?" He says, "Guru should help you to see the light within. We should be eternally grateful to Guru." Like what Kabir was asked, Kabir says, "Guru Govinda Dono Kade Kake Lage Pa." When both Guru and God are there in front of me, whose feet will I fall? He says, "I'll fall at the feet of Guru first, because he is the one who took me to God." Right? Guru definitely is extremely valuable, and we must have our gratitude and all that. But then, please understand, Guru himself will be happy only if you go to the self within, if you reach the self within. Otherwise, Guru himself will be disappointed. Not really, in the sense, what's the use? So, Traigunya Vishaya Vedaha. These Vedas are also limited. They are also expressions of the truth. They are not the truth. Any amount, any methods you may follow, trying to express, it will be limited. How can you express the unlimited? How can the finite equipments, when Vedas are expressed, they have to be expressed through the finite equipments. How can the finite equipments express the infinite? Are you with me? That's why he says, your idea is what? Why are you here? To go beyond the gunas. If you are planning to go beyond the gunas, don't get stuck with Vedas. Vedas are also dealing with only three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. There are people involved in gambling, there are people involved in business, there are people involved in Bhagavad Gita classes. Anything is involvement. In the dream. What is dream? Dream is nothing but an expression of waking state. But not the full waking state. Some unfulfilled desires which has gathered so much of pressure and requires immediate fructification comes in the form of dream. Correct? It's a pressure release. And what is the dream? Dream is nothing but waker's mind. It's come from the waker's mind. In the dream, somebody is coming and teaching you Bhagavad Gita. Somebody is teaching you Vedas. Isn't that part of the dream? You are supposed to be learning Vedas from that person in the dream. For what? For what? To wake up. That is what Nistraigunya means. Become free from gunas means what? Go beyond the dream state and become the waker. Go beyond the three gunas. Self-realized person is called as Triguna Atita. One who has gone beyond the gunas. Guna Atita. Even one must go through sattva but not get stuck there. One should go beyond sattva also. You know, when you do rituals, yajna, you use certain things. Then finally you put those things also in the fire. What is it trying to tell us? It's trying to tell you, even this needs to be crossed. When you are not ready to cross that, you will still linger there. So this is very, very powerful verse. It says the Vedas deal with the three gunas attributes. Be thou free, O Arjuna, from the three gunas. Be cautious, lot of people get stuck with Vedas. Either they don't go to Vedas, or they go and get stuck with Vedas. This is the problem. So, he says, Nistray Gunyu Bhava Arjuna, become free from the gunas. Swamiji gives a beautiful example. He gives the example of a pole vaulter. Pole vaulter uses the pole, comes running with it, pegs it to the ground, lifts himself to a particular height, and then drops the pole and crosses the bar. Without the pole, he cannot cross the bar. With the pole, he cannot cross the bar. Don't poo-poo the Vedas. Don't get stuck with them either. Don't poo-poo the rituals. Don't get stuck with them either. Don't poo-poo Bhagavad Gita, but don't get stuck with them either. Never lose your focus. That is, I must become Atma. I am Atma. Your goal is to be awake, is to be awake in every action. That is the most important thing. The perfection in action is not important, but being awake is important. When you are awake, perfection comes automatically. So we have to move from tamas to rajas to sattva, but we must also cross sattva and go to a state of attributelessness, which is Brahmanhood. Not remain in the limited dream world. Somebody is teaching you Vedas, learn the Vedas, practice them, but for what? Crossing over and becoming the waker, not getting stuck there. So Nistray Gunya, this you try to remember. Nistray Gunya. Bhava means become. Be without gunas, without attributes, without any flavor. All of us have some flavor or the other. You go to some country, you pick up the flavor of that country. Your accent also changes. Be without gunas. Become guna atita Arjuna. In fact, from this portion 45 to 53, Swamiji has named it as the topic, desireless action leads to self-realization. Pursuing Vedas also with desire, a lot of us. Leave it. Get back to the self. If you are tamasic stage, don't straight away aim for sattva. From tamas one should come to rajas. From rajas one should go to sattva. That is why Swami Vivekananda said to Indians, he said, go play football. Because all we are doing is constantly doing this prayer and that prayer, hardly any action is done. One file to move from one table to another takes 25 years. And in between it goes missing also. You understand? So he says, go play football, because he was from Bengal. So he said, go play football. From tamas, you have to go to rajas, activity. And then from activity, you must go to objectivity. So this is the point we need to understand. Straight away you cannot say, in fact, a lot of tamasic people get attracted to these things. Because if you can do these rituals and get it, why not I do it? that ritual also, if I can pay some money and make somebody else do it for me. Nowadays even that is happening. I'm sure somebody else is doing it for you. All sorts of nonsense is going on. The rest of the verse we'll see next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.